Just a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share in relation to the cross. I think I missed it for years that Jesus never viewed his death as a defeat, and that 3 days later when he was raised from the dead, that was the victory. Jesus didn't see it that way, nor did the Apostle Paul see it that way. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "I determined to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's a powerful passage in the book of Colossians. I think it's interesting that when Paul and other people wrote to various churches, the church at Colossae, they were dealing with a variety of things. Context is important. The culture surrounding the context is important. But Paul often will come back to his favorite topic, victory because of the cross. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 14, talking of Christ, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, Jesus took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Not even a hint of talking about the resurrection. It was the cross. I like very much what N.T. Wright had to say about this. That at the cross, what looked to be Christ's ultimate defeat became his and our ultimate victory. By 6 p.m. on Good Friday, the dark forces were defeated, and on Easter, a new creation began, which we are part of today, working toward the new heaven and earth, to bring all things together in heaven and on earth, under one head, namely Christ Jesus. And there are a plethora of scriptures saying this, whether it be Jeremiah 31, or John in Revelation, or Isaiah in 65 and 66, or Paul in Colossians 2 and Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, and a variety of other passages. So the cross was a remarkable event, powerful in many, many ways. But I'm not sure about you. I always want to rush to the resurrection. And why not? Why not? Because we know the story. We know that there was bewilderment in the hearts and the minds of followers. They couldn't grasp that Jesus would actually be raised from the dead, although all the prophets talked about it, didn't they? And Jesus reminded them of it, but it was beyond them. It was too difficult to grasp. And when he was raised, it seemed like everything was going to work out just perfectly, but Jesus never did see it that way. There was something profound that took place in the other realm at his crucifixion. A defeat, that the death was what God always intended. But it wasn't just death that took place. There was resurrection at his death. Well, Don, you mean 3 days later he was raised from the dead? Yes, 3 days later he was raised from the dead. But when Jesus died, there was a resurrection. I'm not so sure why this passage that I want to read is not well known. It certainly wasn't well known to me. Maybe you've known it, it's been there all along. I never did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, but only Matthew says this about what happened when Jesus died. So in Matthew chapter 27, I want to read, picking it up in verse 50, where Jesus dies. And I'm not going to read the whole story of his crucifixion, but here in verse 50 of Matthew 27, and I really would like you to notice this with me. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He died. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. And here's something I didn't realize. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Isn't that remarkable? That when he died, people were instantly raised. Many holy people who had died were raised to life at his death. They didn't wait 3 days later. When Jesus died, they were raised to life. Another physical statement saying to the dark powers, you are defeated. Resurrection is taking place. Now, what's interesting, and if you would picture this in your mind, the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. But it seems like they just stayed there. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. So they were raised from the dead when Jesus died, but they just stayed. I'd love to hear the conversations they had. I was at your funeral just a while ago. And I was at your funeral just a while ago. What are we doing here? But they knew. They just knew. Love to see it. Love to hear the conversations taking place. Maybe somebody said, well, let's go. No. We know what's going to happen. Jesus is going to be raised. He'll go in. He'll go into the city. And we'll go into the city too. Talk about gobsmacked. Just amazing what takes place. So it's not that the death of Jesus has to be hurried over. Yes, we want to get to the resurrection, but at his death, there was newness that had already started. And besides all that, even though there was so much difficulty believing with all of this, after Jesus was raised, and we'll touch on this in Easter, it was a continual reminder of Jesus to everyone else that are there. This is what the prophets had talked about. How many scriptures did we read tonight from Isaiah, from other books of the Old Testament, of scripture, talking about that this was going to happen to Jesus? So after Jesus was raised in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 25, he said, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. It's almost as if Jesus was saying on the way to the cross, this is what the prophets have been talking about for years, but not just the prophets. Again, later, as the two walking along the road to Emmaus with Jesus, he again reminds them of everything. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. And then later, when he's with his disciples, this is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. It's gone just as Jesus had planned, even from the beginning. And then, lastly, I just think about the statements that Jesus made from the cross. You may have had experiences of walking the stations of the cross, which is a unique experience. But the statements that Jesus made from the cross, again, were quite profound. The seven statements that Jesus made from the cross, some of them are direct quotes from the Old Testament, particularly the Psalms and a few others. And if they aren't direct quotes, some of them are certainly references to many of the Old Testament scriptures. But they're unique statements. Jesus could have said anything from the cross, but he said a couple of things, seven things in particular, and then try to relate them to ourselves. Variety of the Gospels talk about this. When Jesus is on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I was just thinking that, going back to the beginning tonight, when I said, if Jesus with us right now in bodily form, would we have done what we did tonight? Yeah. And I would want to say to Jesus, we know what you said from the cross. Can you tell us why you said what you said? Well, the first one makes tremendous sense. Jesus is all about forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They certainly thought they were taking his life. They were giving victory for us. And then when Jesus makes reference to Mary and John, today you will be with me in paradise. Then he says, behold your son, behold your mother. And then the fourth statement is a direct quote from David. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if I can just stop here before I finish the next few. Even on the cross, as Jesus is dying, he's preaching. Many of the people that were gathered there, some who thought he might have been the Messiah, but death certainly wouldn't happen to a Messiah. And yet when we read the scriptures, we say that's exactly what was going to happen to him. But the people that were standing there were trying to figure it all out, trying to grab hold of what he was saying. And when Jesus was quoting from the Psalms and making reference to others, he was preaching to the people. Remember what David said? Now it's happening to me. Remember what was said in the Psalm? Now it's happening to me. This is all the fulfillment. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Or from Psalm, when Jesus said, I thirst. And then when he said, it is finished. And then he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Traditionally, there are some virtues that are attached to each of these statements. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Forgiveness is preeminent. Today you will be with me in paradise. Salvation. Behold your son, behold your mother. Relationships. My God, why have you forsaken me? Abandonment. I thirst. Distress. It is finished. Triumph. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. A reunion. All of these statements represent what all of us have experienced. Maybe once in our life, maybe many times in our life. We all need forgiveness. And if we need forgiveness, then we readily share and offer forgiveness. Jesus was preaching to us on the cross. Salvation. Many of us have experienced salvation. Maybe some are here tonight and have contemplated salvation. And the third thing that to me is profound, and we need this so desperately, is relationship. We need relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we need relationship with each other. As Mike shared with us tonight, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That covers a relationship that we reach out to one another. And then, man, these next ones are difficult. Abandonment. Maybe sometimes we felt that way. Distress. Distress is more than just having an inconvenient day, a bad day. It's distress. But then there is the triumph. And then there is the reunion that one day all of those whom we love, who have gone to be with the Lord, we will be together again. As Paul said, I am confident of this. Away from the body, present with the Lord. And that one day, when the renewal of all things takes place, we'll all be together, seeing each other again. And even for people who have been gone for a long, long time, we believe in the resurrection because we feel their presence. Even if they've been gone for many, many, many years, they're still just alive today in us as they always have been. And sometimes we talk to them. Sometimes we listen as we share with Jesus our thoughts and prayers, knowing that they're there together. No, Jesus never saw the cross as a defeat. He saw it as a victory. And Paul said, it's what I want to talk about. The last enemy, Paul says, to be destroyed is death. And Jesus took care of that. And oh, on Sunday, we'll talk about that too. Let's pray. So, Father, we come to you with so many thoughts. Thank you so much that we can be together this evening. Talked a couple of times this evening about you being here in bodily form. But you are here. You're always here. You're always with us wherever we go. We're so grateful that you remind us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And what you have done for us is a constant reminder that you're always at work in our lives. And may we receive not just what you have done, but you as our Savior, as our friend, as the one who directs our life, is the one that we can snuggle up to with our thoughts and our emotions. Thank you that you have our loved ones with you. And we look forward to that wonderful reunion day, all because of the cross. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.